Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
What do you mean to play us out?
Well, like, push.
You're listening to some cooler psychedelic song from the Throw Away Your Books Rally in the Streets movie from Art Theater Guild in Japan. Hi, we're Sun Cinema.
Hi.
Hi.
Jason, get on that mic.
I am hot on the mic.
Oh, hi, Jason.
Oh, hi.
Bye, Marge.
Yeah. Oh, bye, Marge.
Welcome to the Sun Cinema Podcast. This is our weekly radio show where we try to examine the highs and lows of the medium of the film through the filtered lens of Washington, D.C.'s only privately held art house cinema. I'm your host, Jason Cawley. I'm joined by my co-host, Dave Cabrera. Dave.
Hello.
Hello. And Ryan Hunter Mitchell.
Hey.
How you doing?
Yeah, dude.
We're coming to you live from the Full Service Radio Station inside the Glorious Line Hotel in Adams Morgan. In our nation's capital.
Yeah. Oh man. Why did we not have that on like go to that goddamn fog? We do. Jack's on it.
I'm sure he's like wants to kill himself every time he has to.
Yeah, exactly. Accurate.
Oh, they figured out the horn. Great.
I like this one more. That one's more fun. Yeah, it's more us.
Kind of fits the Rocky.
Yeah, it is getting into the Rocky vibe, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, well, we're finishing up March. We're getting ready to say goodbye. We got one more week left. We've been doing films directed by women all month, and they've been great. Good crowds, right? How was last week, David?
Last week was great. Tuesday night, we did this movie Out in the Night. The trailer you saw, Jason, was brutal. The movie was just as brutal, but it was insightful. Yeah, you just see how shitty people are and how shitty our system is, basically.
The justice system.
Yeah. So that was fun. Wednesday, we showed this movie called Wanda by Barbara Loden.
Jamie Lee Curtis?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, look at you. No. Deep pull.
No, it's, yeah, okay. How was Wanda?
It was a movie called Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
Yeah, no, we're all caught up.
Moving on. we're all caught up. Yeah, it was good. It was very bleak, but humorous. It's the only film that she directed. And
I meant to bring up, she has a great quote about how she wants all of her films to be from a certain perspective. And it's interesting she only has one film.
I guess she
figured
that out. Good job. Figured it out. Got it. Check. Done.
Yeah.
Moving on.
There was an interesting conversation too afterwards. Some dudes were like, "Man, they were mad at her character for not sort of fighting back." And it was kind of a movie of like a woman who just sort of goes with the circumstances she's given. And it was interesting to watch guys and girls talk about their perspective on that, where the women were just like, "Yeah, dude, that's all. Like, that's what it is, man. You do what you can do." And you're like, and the dudes are like, "Yeah, but you should have done more." And you're just like,
oh. "Man, life's a bitch, and then you die."
Yeah. So that's another fun one. Then The Connection, which we've already kind of talked about.
Yeah, we did a bunch.
Good show, though. I mean, you almost...
It was great.
The people jazz.
How many walls were there broken in that movie is my question.
It breaks all the walls that we haven't even built yet are broken in that movie. It's so good.
So anti-Trump.
Well, it's definitely not trying to kill drug dealers. It's definitely anti-Trump. Cowboy is like the most put together guy in the whole movie.
Cowboy is so cool.
Yeah, the drug dealer in that movie is cool as shit. So, you know, note for future policymakers, sometimes the cool guys hanging out with the church ladies.
Right. Friday was this movie, 35 Shots of Rum. Claire Denis.
Yeah.
Also, pretty bleak, but beautiful.
Someone about the apartment. Is this the daughter and father? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Some guy brought a really nice bottle of rum.
Okay, I was going to ask about the alcohol aspect of the night.
He was like, "What kind of rum you got?"
You think
And then he's like, "I brought this one." I was like, "Okay."
By the title, I mean, Would you say it's very rum driven, the movie?
No, there are two scenes where they vaguely explain to you.
I put this on one time. I kind of remember it, but I don't remember a lot of rum.
Also, what's interesting is that the main actress in that movie is the niece of the director of Tukibuki. So she's Senegalese. Mm-hmm. And I saw the name Diop, which is a fairly common, fairly common Senegalese name. Anyways, yeah. So that was interesting.
Cool.
Saturday, we did comedy. Sunday, Le Rendezvous de Anna's Chantal Ackerman movie. Movie was really good. Like, if you can sit through Jeanne Dillman, which is 3.5 hours long, like,
right.
Any of her movies are going to be pretty easy. That one was like 2 hours, and it's also pretty slow, but there's a lot more movement, and it's like one of the most deadpan movies I've seen in a very long time. Like, very Jarmusch, Aki Kaurismäki style deadpan, like the whole thing.
Great.
And very cool cinematography, like very symmetrical, very like Wes Anderson-esque. I was trying to think of like older movies that do that. Other ones.
Older
like, films that are just like where everything is like perfectly aligned.
Other than like Kubrick.
Other than Kubrick.
I was starting to say Kubrick's probably the go-to.
Other than Kubrick, yeah.
Hitchcock's pretty good at that sometimes. Yeah. Like he had his
This one was
run.
Real meticulous though too. So
that's great.
So it's like this slow movie with just beautiful
How's the housekeeping in this one?
You know, I don't think they ever make the beds.
Ah.
So.
Okay. Well, because
it's another thriller.
Right.
Watch it on a Friday.
Housekeeping thriller. And then what do we got coming up? What's our last week? How are we closing out?
Yeah, how are we?
Looks pretty strong. Out?
I think we're, yeah.
You got Love and Anarchy, the Lena Wertmüller, and then Raw on Friday, and I guess the last day of the month, the 31st on that Saturday, is Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
Heard of it.
So,
well, yeah, this is a hopeful month. I kind of posed this question to us on here, which is like, what have we learned? Is time up?
Right.
And at Sun Cinema this month, time has been up. But we got to keep going.
Yeah. Sort of a lesson learned here, hopefully.
Well, so I want to kind of think about...
We're going to get Jimmy Kimmel to host a month of female films.
Yeah. The Woman Show.
The Woman Show. Yeah.
Well, okay, so through this month, we had some old movies, we had some art movies, we had some like kind of modern classics. We're closing out with Sofia Coppola. So with some of these, we're getting some household names in here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of hopeful with all the attention, you know, negative attention on creepy studio execs last year. That also opened the door to look at like how things are funded, which we've talked about a lot through this podcast.
Right.
And we're seeing a lot more big budget movies, you know, kind of the wheels are being handed to women.
Right.
We actually have a cool clip from Ava DuVernay, who just did Wrinkle in Time. Oh, you can play it. Go for
film
it.
Film is a patriarchal system that's built by men for men, predominantly for white men. That's the history of the medium in the United States.
I like that she adds that caveat on the end of, like, in the United States. Right. Like, some other places have actually done some good work on this.
Yeah. That reminds me of... I mean, I feel like I Am Not Your Negro sort of pointed on that, where you're watching all these clips of these movies that, I mean, it's more about color representation than gender, but
watching, holes in representation.
Totally. Yeah. Like, you're watching these clips that are like, oh, these happy people, you know, and he's like, this means nothing to me.
Right.
I don't relate to this.
Actually, that whole clip is worth checking out if anyone's listening. It's Ava DuVernay for Time magazine. It's a little YouTube clip, but she has a, you know, good
some
breakdown
solid
about
points.
Yeah, she's not like that sounds like super critical, that little clip we heard, but it's actually just posing that we're gonna have big holes if we're only looking at things from a certain perspective,
right?
Which one of the things I think film is all about is like opening up your perspective, making you look at situations a different way, making you look at art a different way, making you think about how you hold your own ideas.
Oh, it's certainly why the three of us are sitting here to some degree. I mean, film had some amazing impact on our lives and continues to do so. And, you know, like you said, as long as the essence of film continues and we can get through the politics of some of these things and get around some of the hurdles of this, as long as there's a body of people that are willing to push forward,
mm-hmm.
Those... those issues and things like that, they may exist for a long, long time. Don't get me wrong. But they can certainly be mitigated to a certain degree, and we can rise above some of this, you know.
There's also, they're also not issues that are just relegated to film, so it's
broader. For sure.
You know, but yeah.
But hopefully. it's a huge medium.
Absolutely.
In pop culture, film is a huge thing, still making money. Yeah,
totally.
And it's one that just has had a huge, huge disparity in representation from the filmmaking side, from the dialogue side, from the funding side. So it's kind of nice to see people like Dee Reese, Greta Gerwig, Patty Jenkins back in with huge blockbusters. And maybe hopefully this kind of moves towards not just giving all the big blockbusters, but also like quality, good movies, good indie movies. I guess Lady Bird definitely fell into that.
Fell into that and blew up, yeah.
So yeah, hopefully we're just going to see more and more of, you know, distribution of who's telling the story. Now, from women, people of color, either that, well, this is my kind of pessimistic side, is that all these things are getting realized now at a time when films like kind of doesn't know where it's going.
Right.
I think, you know, big budget movies, they're going to blame it. I'm sure there's going to be some blaming on, oh, see, we opened up the field and now no one's going to see movies.
Yeah. And to some degree, you can't step up to that plate and not expect to be just treated on what I think everybody should be treated on, the merit of the film. Uh-huh. Like at the end of the day, you have a finished product that you're putting out to the world. And that is, you know, to be judged.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, it's going to be judged. And as long as you can take that criticism or take the accolades and make your next great movie, I mean, it just has to be given a chance to do
that. Yeah.
You
know,
so absolutely. As long as the chance is being given, then hey, well, let the chips fall. No, that's what I mean.
That's part of chance.
Yeah, that's part of the chance is being well funded and being able to make the film you want to make. Real. But yeah, let the chips fall where they may after that, you know?
So what were some of the highlights for you guys from last month?
Oh, yeah, I think I brought this up.
Specifically.
Yeah, no, I think I brought this up last week, but I was really, and I was not completely, I wasn't the only male there, but I was certainly one of four or five males in the room, I think, for the Chisholm 72 Unbuttoned Unbossed. Which I thought was just it was an interesting film-going experience, and unlike anything you could probably get anywhere else, certainly in this city, but, you know, even in competing cities like Chicago and New York and things like that, there's few places where you could go see this documentary.
Totally.
That's right, Chicago.
And I felt
it was
like,
showing in New York like last weekend.
Whatever. We showed it first, right?
I think so.
We showed it before then.
I think we did.
God, there's such copycats up there. God.
Just all in general. New York.
New York's over. Cinemas. Jack moved down.
Yeah.
Jack's in D.C. now. Yeah. New York's over.
Get over it. But that was one. I think we were talking about it earlier, but how Clueless holds up.
I think Clueless held up. That was one of the highlights for me was, you know, that Clueless is still good, not just when I was a teenager. And for a new one for me, I finally saw an Agnes Varda feature, Vagabond. I thought it was great.
Nice.
So maybe now David will shut up about Agnes Varda.
It's my favorite.
Well, yeah, what was your favorite? You were at most of them.
I was at most of them. Yeah, honestly, I would say the Giovanna Chesler experimental documentary night was really cool. It felt like, I mean, she just had three shorts. One was 10 minutes, one was like 15 minutes, and one was 50 minutes. But within those, they were all extremely insightful and thoughtful and just very interesting and visually very cool. And then she gave like a short talk after, and it felt like being in like a really cool class. She's a professor at Mason, and I was just, the whole time I was just like, man, I wish I was like in her class.
Yeah, right.
So that one, and honestly, the Rendezvous to Anna, I thought that one was just, I was shocked by how well it was shot.
Uh-huh.
And then just the dialogue, it just reminded me of some of my more favorite, you know, Jarmusch, Kurosaki movies that are just so, so deadpan and like,
right.
Wonderful.
So dark. So anyways, yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully the world of...
Oh, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
It's just always good.
Come on, of course.
Perfect. So yeah, that's us wrapping up March, seeing how the world might be changing by the opening of more perspectives being, you know, moving forward, talking about important things in the world, not just coming from the film minds of men.
Yeah.
Also, this last weekend we had a big march.
Ah,
and
yes,
a bunch of kids came and took over Washington. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to imagine via film what happens when the kids take over.
It packs a brass knuckle punch in its startling revelation of those teenage savages who turned big city schools into a flying jungle.
Kazan, boku omoidashite. Kazan, natsuko ki na momo no ue de atama wa aratte moratta toki awadatta sekken ga me ni shimite kazan wa hajimete norotta koto ya kazan no makkuro na imou ga.
This is what the kids in today sound like, right?
Yes, exactly.
And we're back.
All right. I was just asking, is it insensitive to talk about the best crisis actors this week? That's probably in bad taste.
Is it?
Oh, I don't think they're actually crisis actors, for the record. I don't know. But if they are, they're very good. Emma Gonzalez, David Hogg, other survivors from Parkland shooting were down this weekend and
took over.
Yeah, took over, melted our hearts on their way to melt our guns. I wasn't there, but it was awesome. I was pretty thrilled with seeing kids take over, put together a pretty good march, put together some really diverse conversation, and it seemed like a good, like, populist, positive, democratic movement. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, exercising their rights.
Exactly. So let's just do it. Let's lower the voting age to 14 and let's talk about why with some good movies. So yeah, let's talk about Youth in Revolt. Not specifically that movie, but just movies with key revolting youth.
Yeah, I think that's an easy segue, and there's plenty of that being represented in film going, you know, even as far back as Rebel Without a Cause. I mean, kind of
classic.
That and The Wild One were kind of like,
oh yeah,
right there at the heart of like the first real generation to be, I guess, immortalized in film and television as like youth in revolt, as punk kids, or you know, as troubled youth, whatever label you want to put on it. But they certainly had that, you know, in the 50s.
Yeah, shaking up the olds. Like, how do you deal with it? They're just running around with their leather jackets
and their blue jeans.
Yeah,
their dungarees,
smoking cigarettes of all sorts,
Chesterfields and Lucky Strikes and marijuana.
So let's
crazy
just
kids
blow through some of our favorites. If dot 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 is on there.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Lord of the Flies. You get the kids taken over there. I mean, I guess that's an adaptation from a book. But what I'm thinking is maybe The Omen. You know, look at
Truly taken over.
Or The Bad Seed. Some of these old bad seed. So we've got all these like children kind of upsetting their parents by just being bad in these early kind of genres of like how these kids turn bad. You see The Bad Seed.
And probably the strangest take on all that with 400 Blows of like shot through the lens of the child the entire time. You rarely see an adult.
Yeah.
Unless they're doing something kind of off or wrong, like when he's spying on his mother.
Yeah,
throughout the film.
I think that's one of like the most well-rounded too. You know, that's a filmmaker actually, in my opinion, really trying to look at what's kind of going on with the kid. Like,
true troubled youth.
Yeah, what's the world around them providing? Instability or drama in all these ways. How is it you feel productive and he's not communicating with his family very well.
Right.
And he just goes off the deep end, and it's great. Like a cool deep end. Like a cool French late 50s deep end.
Way totally. To go. Way to go.
How is David silent on 400 Blows right now? I'm waiting. We're baiting him right now.
Talking about Truffaut here, buddy.
I was going to say that made me think of Los Olvidados, which I think is kind of like a even darker, not French.
Right. 400 Spanish, Blows. Mexican. Yeah.
And that one's interesting because it starts off It's an early Buñuel, Luis Buñuel film. It's like 1950.
One of my favorites, yeah.
Yeah, and it starts off, he kind of gives his ideology like right from the beginning, which is, if you agree with it, you're like, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, we're going to be in for the ride.
Yeah, he basically is just like, it's bullshit that there's this sort of disparity and that kids should, you know, struggle. That's just kind of right there, right at the beginning.
Yeah.
He like adds that, and then you're like, okay, well, I guess we're going to watch
this. Let's see where
now.
This goes. Yeah.
So that one's good.
I guess if we're jumping up to modern times, say Hunger Games. I actually didn't see the last one, but that's when the kids actually take over, right?
Yeah, I didn't the last one either.
Yeah, damn it.
Was that Mockingjay Part 2?
Yeah, I don't think one? I even saw Mockingjay Part 1. I actually liked the first two just
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, I saw the first two in the theater.
Didn't see the second
with my kids.
Nukem?
Yeah, Duke Nukem's a great one.
Yeah, wow, nice pull.
Yeah, there's the kids taking over. Yeah. Yeah, and there's all these different ways kids can just let loose and film. Dazed and Confused.
I thought Dazed and Confused did a great job of just kind of looking at a specific time and place and truly like having, you know, the whole things around the drug test or signing the petition mm-hmm. to say you're not going to use drugs and being, you know, handed that as a junior going into a senior year or whatever. And like just the entire decade kind of summed up in the 70s of like this is this was life for these people and this is Youth in Revolt circa 1975 I think 75 or 6 when the film set.
Is that when it set?
Yeah.
Yeah, and well that one also it gives like a great look at the decade which
it does and it doesn't do it from that weird kind of if it's too early in the 70s then you kind of a hippie follower.
You're basically the 60s.
Yeah, you're basically the 60s. If it's too late, then you're almost creeping into the 80s kind of mentality, and there's like a little bit of a weird wash where things are kind of unidentified culturally. Mm-hmm. But like 75, 76, like hit a specific time and place, and Linklater just, I mean, crushed it out of the gate.
Well, you're looking at the place. You're also looking at like the setting that youth are dealing with specifically
high
like a structured setting of high school.
Yeah.
And you're also looking, you know, post 60s, early 70s radical movements or anything. You're just in this weird time. It's like, how do you even revolt in the 70s? Chill out on the grass, smoke some grass, hang out with some other people smoking grass and get in some trouble.
Yeah, that was the biggest kind of F you to the man and the thing that the man was most concerned about, you know. Great, great offering.
And then we move into Youth Revolting in the 80s.
What do we got there? Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay, I guess they're throwing parades. It's all great now. You just just ditch school, pretend you're sick,
have a great day in Chicago.
Was it Chicago?
Because they go to Wrigley, they go to the Cubs game, they go to the parade downtown.
If that wasn't like incentive to just screw off.
Oh, yeah. No, I think if you weren't already having like senior skip days, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, like locked it in as part of the high school experience of like just take a day off.
Yeah, that's what happens if you take a day off if you're Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
You just everything.
Welcome to the world of John
See,
Hughes.
It was telling of the 80s. It's like, yeah, here's how it is, guys. Right. Screw around.
It's just going to be fun. It's going to be a blast.
Great. It's going to be killer. I want to see what happens when, you know, anybody else did just for a day gets arrested real quick.
You could probably draw a direct comparison between Ferris Bueller's Day Off and 400 Blows.
Yeah.
Here's one example. Here's how this happens in 1980s America. Here's how this happens in 1960 France.
Totally.
He gets into harmless crime.
Yeah. It's also a movie about privilege, like the difference of the privilege of like,
yeah.
Oh,
here's
no,
this
the
poor
privileges.
Kid, and then you got poor Ferris.
Poor Ferris. Save Ferris.
Save Ferris. Yeah.
Like a movie like Streetwise or something where it's just these kids ditching school and just pickpocketing everyone,
or
hustling.
Kids,
yeah, or kids. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Kids.
Oh, kids is a great. Yeah. That's, there we go. That's like the reality of what Ferris Bueller's Day Off is like, trying to trick you into thinking ditching's like.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, bummer. You also put down Election, which is, it's the kids getting organized.
Yeah, exactly. I love Reese Witherspoon in that. I love, speaking of Ferris Bueller, you know.
Ferris Bueller's great in
Election. Ferris Bueller's great in Election. Broderick really is great in that.
He's wonderful.
kind of turns the Ferris Bueller character on his head. Now he's, you know, in this horrible position of being, you know, bested by a sophomore in high school.
And then you always get Breakfast Club, I guess.
Oh, what about,
yeah, Breakfast Club, I mean, that's, for sure.
I don't know.
What about The Outsiders? And
yeah, I think that's a better... Outsiders is, like, a little bit better than Breakfast Club, because it's not just, like, whining about having your dad put a cigar out on
well,
you.
Well, it's the difference between S.E. Hinton and John Hughes, I think.
Yeah.
So there's some fundamental difference in approach.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, like, Rumblefish, which I kind of, like, prefer to Outsiders.
Yeah,
I love them
I
both.
Like,
but that one's almost like a... I guess they're both kind of cautionary tales. Like, don't get too out of hand.
Very cautionary tales, I think. Mm. And, like, no adults present whatsoever. You know?
That's
like,
true.
Talk about some kids on their own, man. There's just no adults at all around.
You put on Donnie Darko. It's like a more modern version of Revolting.
Yeah, and just...
But it's a modern version of an 80s version, right?
Like, yeah, it is. Okay.
You know?
It is. Well, that's the whole thing. It's revolting against linear time.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You can intercede later and change how everything went. Kids, see, this is why we should let them be in charge.
Power's in your hands,
They can do way more than us. They got social media. They can change time. All right, I wanted to pose this, and maybe we could just kind of pick our favorites. Okay, so if the youth take over...
Right.
You're not allowed to vote after 30.
Okay.
You're only allowed to vote from 12 to 30 because they get the future. Let's see. Okay, what are the olds? What movie do the olds think this is? What movie do the kids think is going to happen when they take over? And what movie is it actually going to be like? Does anyone want to play this or not?
No. I think you hit it on the head.
That's good.
The elderly would look at that more as a Blackboard Jungle or... You know,
yeah, I put Blackboard Jungle or Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork
right? They just think it's going to be, oh, God.
Yeah. Like Mars Attacks, I think.
Oh, yeah, exactly. They think it's going to be Mars Attacks. Okay, David, what do you think the elderly think this is going to be?
I got nothing.
Oh, okay, whatever. Okay, what the kids think it's going to be. I don't know if you've watched Footloose, but I think they think it's going to be like Footloose. Like,
yeah.
They're organized. They appeal to the olds. They let them know, hey.
The olds concede.
Yeah, we can know. Dance. Here, we'll find a new disruptive but intact way to do this. We'll do it just outside of the city limits. It's fine.
Right.
But look, we're doing a good job. But then what I put, what it really is going to be is Rock and Roll High School. They're just going to blow up the school.
There's Vince Van Patten.
Mice are going to turn 6 feet tall. Everyone's going to dance. And Riff Randall gets to wear roller skates or something.
Perfect.
Yeah, does anyone else? I guess. All right, whatever.
No, I think that was a pretty good rundown. I think that is. I like the Clockwork Orange as far as the other
yeah.
answer. It's just the world ending.
Let's take a break, and then let's move on to the 80s and talk about next month's calendar, the Reagan years.
For the Ramones. Wait till you hear this.
All right, that was Riff Randall leading her gym class in the song she wrote for the Ramones. And I think the Ramones would do a great version of that song.
I
think they could probably, yeah.
Maybe as good.
Probably.
Debatable.
All right, so part three, the Reagan years.
Part three.
We're getting ready in about a week. I think in a week we're gonna
yeah.
decide to kick off April.
Well, less than a week, but yeah.
Yeah, less than a week. We're going to start April. And
with the huge April Fools
Fitzcarraldo.
Werner Herzog movie.
We shouldn't show. We should just show the documentary about Fitzcarraldo.
Oh, show Burden of Dreams. Dude, we paid
Burden
so
of
much
my
money
dreams
for Fitzcarraldo.
Like,
yeah, I almost think it's better than Fitzcarraldo.
I do.
Oh, man. It's certainly more
it's hard
visceral.
To,
and
totally.
I'm not taking anything away from Fitzcarraldo.
Sure.
It can stand on its own, but my God. Burden of My Dreams is like,
yeah,
just so much fun.
So the month is basically, yeah, it's called the Reagan years, and it's all movies from the time period that Ronald the Gipper was prez. And we tried to specifically not just do like cool 80s movies, because that would be pretty easy, I think.
Yeah.
So we tried to...
And we're never going to show Goonies.
Yeah. we tried to find movies that, you know, play on the motifs of some of the more common things of that era. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a fun way to look at the pop culture philosophy of the 80s, which I think is insane.
I think the idea of Fitzcarraldo starting it off is pretty strong.
That's, you have
one crazy white man who's like shown up into an indigenous jungle, like, all right, I'm taking over.
Yeah, capitalism run amok.
It's like, we got money, let's make the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Take this boat over this hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's supposed to start. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, it's the origins of how did we get to the 80s?
Yeah, how did we
get to the 80s?
Let's go over the days of the week.
Totally.
So we break down our calendar and kind of in days of the week is the way we've been doing it. So just go give us a Sunday through Saturday.
So Sundays are more like commonly known as like art house films. So there's Fitzcarraldo. Shadows in Paradise is a cool Aki Kaurismäki movie, part of the Proletariat trilogy, which is appropriate. Mm-hmm. My Brother's Wedding is a Charles Burnett movie. Same dude that did Killer of Sheep.
Yeah.
It's about a dude living in Watts, I believe.
It's kind of an unfinished thing, too, right? Like when it got released or whatever, they sent it ahead to the New York Film Festival or something without him finishing editing it.
Yeah, that's right.
And they loved it. I don't know.
Then L'Argent is a Bresson movie from the
80s. It's his last, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's his last film.
Wings of Desire is a Wim Wenders movie that takes place in Berlin. It's very good. Tuesdays are all documentaries. Yeah, all documentaries. Streetwise, it's about kids in Seattle. Down and Out in America is sort of a broad, you know, economic broad tale about America economically. And Handsworth Songs is about a riot in London or something like that. God's Country is a Louis Malle documentary.
Oh, you know what? I've never seen this, but I'm very familiar with it. Like,
he
goes there at one point and then like comes back.
Right. He goes late 70s and then he comes back in the 80s and he's showing sort of the difference between the times.
Those farming communities, right?
Yeah. And then the 500 this group, 500 Women Scientists, they're presenting this movie called Taking Root, which is not from the 80s, but it's about a woman planting trees. So I figured, you know, that you could loosely tie that in with like the environment being a thing.
Yeah.
Wednesdays are
cool.
Yeah,
just cool stuff.
Style Wars is a cool doc about New York in the 80s and graffiti. No, is that the
hip hop graffiti
one? Yeah. Then we're gonna do a live Prince concert. We're gonna have a hologram.
Can we seat 400?
You can seat 400.
Tark is gonna do another Vera Chitlova movie from the 80s. She's the one that did Daisies.
Wonderful.
The Czech lady, and then. We're doing two concerts.
Yeah. We're going to do Bad Brains at CBGB's from 82. It's a killer concert. Great video. I mean, you'll see the DC's Bad Brains like at their prime. And then we're also going to show a Dead Kennedys concert from a community center, a well-lit community center in DC in 86, 84. Does it say on there?
It's 85.
85. And this is one I used to watch as a kid, and it's awesome. It's just like right around Dead Kennedys' Rock Against Reagan era. So it's
you mentioned the lighting. That's always important because there's some of those. I mean, everybody's had these like VHSs that have been
this
passed around.
This is shitty. This is the Dead Kennedys one is shitty quality
is
in this well-lit, fluorescent, all-ages community center. But it's a great concert, and the sound is good.
That's what I was going to say. The lighting and the sound. You got to have one or the other.
You can see it all. Right. The Bad Brains one is like great footage, great sound quality. It's just like a actually really nice quality concert.
It's like good concert
You're
footage.
Looking at one of the most killer hardcore punk concerts.
And one of the greatest venues of all time.
Yes. Yeah. It's great.
So Thursdays are also kind of just cool. We don't have a very succinct thing for that. But Poltergeist.
Oof.
Poltergeist is great. I have a book that I'm going to... I'd like to break down Poltergeist next week. There's a book that's about like film and class that has all these like extreme analysis from Poltergeist. So that would be funny.
Wonderful.
then the following Thursday, we're doing this movie called Morning Patrol, which is a Greek movie that has been coined as an elegiac Blade Runner.
Perfect.
Yeah. The trailer looks amazing. Haven't seen it. Parting Glances is a movie about AIDS in the 80s, and that stars a young Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then On the Silver Globe is a Polish movie by the same director who did Possession.
Ooh.
And it's a movie that also like started in the 70s, but then it got canned or banned or something, and then it came back and they like...
And got banned.
And got... Yeah. And put it back together like in the late 80s. That one looks incredible. It's about like people that go to another planet and start a civilization, and then it turns sort of Lord of the Flies-esque. And anyways,
We're gonna probably bring Elon Musk on that
Elon
episode
Musk
to have
there.
A cool chat with us. We've got some top-notch guests.
He's gonna take the tube.
Yeah.
Fridays are all dystopian futures from an 80s perspective.
Well, dystopian. I mean, Running Man isn't exactly dystopian. I wouldn't.
Or it was set in 2019, by the way.
Yeah.
So. Well, there's an Atlantic article that came out a few years ago that's like Running Man is the most, you know, accurate.
It is dead on.
Yeah, so all of those are, yeah, the future from, you know, that time period. All very good.
It's so funny and that some they were of them are living rich in the 80s, but they knew that the future was going to be
it's bleak.
Disastrous.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was such an obsession with crime and...
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And then Saturdays are just sort of broadly different, you know, playing on different motifs of that time. Rocky IV, the Cold War, Wall Street, greed, They Live, consumerism.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good month. We're going to look at the 80s, but right, let's just riff on what we aren't showing, what's good about the 80s, what's bad, and where can you see our calendar? Actually, I put this in bold so I'd remember to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very good.
So you can find our calendar at sunscinema.com, S-U-N-S, cinema. And then we have a Instagram account that's also sunscinema.
And that's where you'll see it first.
And Twitter. Yeah, Instagram and Facebook, because usually when we post things on Instagram, they go straight to Facebook also.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's and now we're way. Up to, I think we've got like 4,000 weekly listeners. So thanks, guys, for listening to the Sun Cinema podcast. We've been really
awesome. Real excited.
So yeah, what are the pros of the 80s?
Jack is nodding in agreement.
What yes. are they?
I was actually just looking. It looks like 44,000 you missed.
44.
Oh, wow, very good. Very good.
I never know where to move the zeros. I can't.
Yeah. That's what happens when kids take over.
That's right. That's we're bringing the youth.
All right. So the good things about the 80s. You got money.
Yeah, they certainly spent money on movies.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, like everything was by and large like a full scale production. We were talking to mention a couple of people. Obviously, we got Eddie Murphy out of the 80s, which was, you know, just like a gold mine find from SNL.
We never would have had Bowfinger without.
Yeah, no Bowfinger without.
What would we do without Bowfinger?
But I was looking at Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah. You stumbled across this little known actor.
Yeah, this little known movie star named Harrison Ford. But just want to give you a quick rundown of his 1981, I think it is, to 85. I'm just going to pull this up because I wanted to be accurate. But yeah.
He did a few cool things, I think.
1980, he did Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. 1981, he does Raiders of the Lost Ark. All right.
Damn.
1982, he does Blade Runner. 1983, he does Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. 84, he does Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and 85 he caps it out with Witness.
Like, nice.
You talk about a nice like six Man. Movie arc run of like two franchises and an Oscar nomination at the end.
And then a huge cult classic.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Snuck in the middle there.
Yeah, for sure. Like one of the greatest cult classics, if you can even call it that anymore. I mean Blade Runner's, you know, become such a thing.
Yeah, I love the new one with Ron Reynolds.
Ron
it's
Reynolds.
So good. yeah, Harrison Ford is just in beast mode right there. And these are, you're not like leaving any crappy ones out, right?
No, that's what I mean. Like, it's not like, oh, and he also did this year, but we're not going to talk about that. Those were literally just the films he made from 80 to 85. I mean, just two Star Wars, two Raiders, you know.
Two Indiana Jones.
Yeah, two Indiana Jones, a Blade Runner, and a Witness. Like,
yeah.
All for good
it's
measure.
Pretty good. And this is even before. before his like fugitive Air Force One.
Oh yeah, no, no, no.
Tops it again.
Yeah, where he starts going after it all over again in the 90s. No, this is pretty strong work.
I also think there's like such an easy bad guy in the 80s because we kind of like kind of reticked the Cold War.
For sure.
Which
we certainly amped it up.
This could be a bad thing. I get how it's a bad thing. But for movies, it's also a good thing because now you have your premise for all the action movies, so you don't need to waste 20 minutes right. coming up with a bad guy.
We're
you
not got trying one. To figure out, yeah, that thing we had for a minute was, you know, just truly he's a terrorist of some kind, of some notoriety or some great notoriety. And like this was just like, nope, Ruskies.
Yeah.
That's the bad guy.
It could be done. Like in a Top Gun scenario, yep. you know, where you're like actually looking at the military. It could be at a boxing scenario, like
like Rocky IV.
So yeah, that makes for good action movies. It helps us skip some of the filler of plot and establishment of premise for the bad guy and all that. So that you can just jump forward to the good stuff.
Right. I think you had listed Hard Bods.
Hard Bods.
Yeah, I saw that you just wrote Hard Bods there.
Yeah, because you also have like Roger Corman. And, you know, you get also these budget movies that are great. Troma is also doing nihilistic, crazy, hard-bod movies.
Yeah.
And you had the birth of all the Conan the Barbarian, all that whole franchise started in the 80s. Arnold himself as an entity and anything, you know, coming in contact with Arnold.
I mean, he had we are doing Running Man, but... We had to like cut Terminator. There could have been a whole Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, you could have had you could have had a day dedicated to Arnold Schwarzenegger or Stallone.
It.
I think that's like good and bad is like Stallone and Schwarzenegger blowing up in the 80s. Like there's some great fun stuff in there.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
there's some really hard like how did this get made kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or giant franchises in general. I mean, franchises took off, are huge in the 80s for good or bad.
Yeah, yeah. I recommend anybody, just as a side note, I'm going to give a pitch to a different podcast that really, really needs our help called How Did This Get Made?
Oh, yeah, they can use it.
Paul Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
They chilled at Sun Cinema once we let them in.
They did, actually. Yeah. That's very true. I wasn't even thinking about that when I said that, but they have been to Sun Cinema and hung out. And
I think you bought them some drinks, actually.
I think probably.
They owe you a couple drinks.
Well, I'm going to give them a shout out anyway, but they do a great episode on Cobra.
Oh,
I think it was 1987 Stallone film.
I feel like we've talked about this on this show.
We probably have.
Are we allowed to talk about Cobra the same time we're talking about the children marching against guns?
Wow.
I don't know.
I don't know if we can.
It was more to my good Stallone, bad Stallone of the 80s was all I was going to say, but that's well worth checking out if you got the time.
That was good Stallone, right? You're calling that?
I think all Stallone is good Stallone.
Yeah,
but,
that's fair.
In some way, it is.
And then there's some negative aspects of the 80s, too.
Huh.
There's a couple cons.
What?
This is my theory, and I'm going to push this for at least this whole month. So from the 60s and early 70s, you get this like wild liberation of radical thought, the free love. And I think all they took from that was that you can get chicks naked. And that's like all they took from that for the 80s.
We'll give you that part.
Yeah. Right. And then they're like, yeah, but imagine that with like no morality.
Right.
And with like more nationalism.
And just gratuity.
And Porky's.
Yeah.
Is that Porky's in the 80s, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be.
For sure.
Yeah.
I guess I'll put Porky's in the cons. But you also get, you know, which we're kind of going to highlight with RoboCop and a ton of these other ones, is you get negative depictions of criminals or poor people or homosexuals, and the wimpiness is I resent being very wimpy.
Mm.
I don't like how that's looked down upon.
Yeah. That's really when like weight as well, like people who are overweight or obese, really started getting for the first time hammered because
you could pick on everyone
because of the hard body thing.
Yeah.
So if you weren't living that lifestyle, you were a wimp, mm-hmm. or you were fat, or you were homosexual.
Yeah,
you know, like somehow you were or you were all three.
Yeah.
Use your personal choice to get a hard bod.
Right.
Steal all the money you can from everyone in nefarious ways.
And you'll be rewarded.
And you'll be rewarded.
In the 80s. And the 80s is when probably when people started getting more obese, right? I mean, that was I just feel like that was like the
time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a split between both of those worlds where it really was a divergence of like, you know, exercise and jogging or yogging, if it's that's what it's called. But
aerobics.
Aerobics, Jane Fonda, the whole thing like was happening. And was it as a result of, you know, McDonald's extra value meals like going crazy? Interesting. Or I don't know.
I was gonna say like sugary drinks too. That was like that was the soda decade.
Soda decade for sure. Every new kind of soda every week was happening.
I think that did it.
Well, I'm trying to think. In Lesson Zero is actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, I like Lesson Zero.
Like he's in the book. He's so good at like showing people ordering these goofy drinks like with a tab in vodka and shit at the bar.
Oh,
like, in
for
the
sure.
book, he really nails all these. You know who else does that? Is Zach Galifianakis in Baskets. Just goes through every soda from the 80s on.
Throws them in.
So yeah, I guess there's a couple.
There's some drawbacks.
And as much as we have Harrison Ford, we also who rose to fame in the 80s who sucks? Because we had all the gems like Schwarzenegger,
the Hanks of the world, and
yeah, we got Tom Hanks of the 80s kind of. I like Rodney Dangerfield. I'll give him
a pass.
Still
like Rodney Dangerfield.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe the 80s are good.
You know, let's just scrap this month.
Yeah. Actually, we're going to change the month by next week, and we're not going to pick on Reagan. He's done a good job. How are we feeling? We're done? We're good?
I feel pretty good about it. Do you guys feel good about it? We've talked about, you know, what has happened and what is going to happen, and talked about some youth and revolt in the middle there.
Yeah. I think we fixed it.
Feeling pretty good. Jack, you feel good?
I feel good.
All right. So next week, we may or may not have a celebrity on the show.
Oh,
so
we're hoping to get a celebrity caller. We don't, or actually maybe even in studio. Guest.
I will also probably be calling in next week, so I'm going to try to do it from like one of those great London red phone booths somewhere.
That'll be cool.
Perfect.
Or at least like a great 1980s, you know, Western Bell.
So hotel guests and listeners, everybody come to the Line Hotel because there will be a celebrity.
There will be a celebrity.
Make sure and there will line outside and we'll be letting people in starting at 10 a.m.
Right. Yep.
With
so get
tickets.
Lucky. All right. See you guys.